Hello and welcome to The Appetite, a podcast brought to you by Opal Food and Body Wisdom, an eating disorder treatment center in Seattle, Washington. The Appetite is all about issues of food, body, sport, and mental health. We bring topics from eating disorder treatment and bring them into a kind of a more conversational tone for the general population, and that's hopefully you. So I'm Carter Umhow, a therapist, artist, and writer, and I'm joined today by Opal's co-founders. Hi, guys.
Hi.
Hi. Hi. Who are you?
I am Dr. Lexi Giblin.
I'm Kira Bazzi.
Julie Church.
Wonderful. So today we are hoping to prep everybody a little bit for the upcoming holiday season. This is a time that is full of family members, full of a lot of really delicious food that people have a lot of anxiety about sometimes. And when you're in recovery from an eating disorder or in recovery from any sort of disordered relationship with food and body, it can be a particularly triggering time that is fraught with a lot of
comments.
A lot of comments, whether it be something where someone's saying like, oh my God, I'm going to totally indulge tonight, but I have to go to the gym tomorrow. Or what else? or you just see that aunt that you haven't seen in a long time and they're like, oh God, you look like you haven't been working out as much. Are you okay? Or something like that. It can be really helpful to get a bit of
Some preparation,
some tools in the tool belt so you can have some really quick ways of responding to comments like that. If you are someone that is not concerned about that, but are maybe someone that's supporting someone in recovery, this conversation hopefully will be really important so you have a bit of a window into how some of these seemingly harmless comments actually could do quite a lot of harm.
Yeah, it could be illuminating on that end, right? Of knowing what the comments are that could be triggering.
Exactly.
Or challenging.
So where do we start, though? Because there's quite a lot to talk about here.
Yeah, let's start with quick comebacks. So National Eating Disorder Association does trainings of this project called the Body Project. It's a prevention tool for teens to work through different ways of combating the cultural norm when it comes to appearance ideals. A lot of it is around appearance ideals. It's not really for the folks necessarily with eating disorders, but it's addressing it another way of being in relationship with peers. And so it's a peer-trained model. I went to the training, and this was one of the exercises that we did that's in the curriculum. And since then, I've brought it into trainings that I've done in the community that are for athletes specifically that I've done, and then I've also brought it into treatment in group settings. So it's kind of playful. It's a little bit fun to work with it, but it also gives some exposure and practice around what could you say when people make comments that are more disparaging or promote the appearance ideal as a way. Really, the motive is to stop the conversation. This isn't the tool you're going to use if you actually want to engage somebody in conversation and have a more in-depth discussion. This is solely to stop the conversation.
Which can be really helpful in like a family or party setting.
Right.
When you aren't necessarily trusting of the people you're interacting with. Maybe you do have some family members that you really want to get into it with. But I would imagine at some of the like family cocktail parties or potlucks or get-togethers, it's
or
not
business like or business holiday yeah. parties. That's what I'm thinking
right.
of too.
Totally.
Is like the you've never met this person and they make a comment, and then what are you going to do?
Yeah, it's not necessarily the time, maybe, to be vulnerable around your experience of, you know, your body and image concerns and the way that they're impacting you. Mm-hmm. Could be.
And oftentimes, if a comment's made, most times you don't really know what to say. And I think the point of this is to have a little just, again, practice before going into a scenario so that you feel a little bit more like you got some options. So we're going to do this together. None of this is rehearsed by us. We're just going to see what comes up in terms of our own quick comebacks. But there are lists of more appearance-oriented comments that comes from the curriculum. So we have that list in front of us, and then we are going to practice doing a quick comeback. And as a listener, pay attention to the comments that are being said, because this could also, again, reveal some of the things that might be triggering.
Kara, You look great. Have you lost some weight?
Nope.
Oh, it must be something else then.
Must be.
Oh,
I think that now that is the facial expressions were
important in that.
Important in that.
Yep. So, what was my expression?
The expression was just like,
don't go there
with me. I don't play by those rules.
Yeah.
So stop.
Not interested.
Yeah, it was very clear. It was good.
I stopped it, right?
Yeah. Yeah, you definitely stopped it. I didn't know what to say.
Made you feel uncomfortable. Yeah. Okay. Now I'm going to say one, and Julie, you do the quick comeback. Julie, don't you think she looks totally ridiculous wearing that low-cut shirt without cleavage?
I don't really know what you're talking about. It's an awesome shirt.
Bam.
Carter, why did you cut your hair? It looks so much better when it was longer.
Felt like it.
Yeah.
You guys so are good. Yeah.
That's pressure. What I wanted to say. Well, that's rude.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, seriously. Oh, these are so messed up.
I know. It's hard to say them.
You should buy it in a size smaller. It'd be really good for motivation.
Motivation for what?
Like, you know, to lose some weight. Mm. If you get a size smaller, then you feel sort of uncomfortable, and then you'll probably go to the gym more.
Yeah, I'm not into it.
There we
it's
go.
Good. It's good. It's good.
Okay, we'll do one more round this way. Lexi, do you think this dress makes me look fat?
I think you are such a great person, and you don't need to worry about such things.
Okay.
Carter, I think it'd be really cool if we could both achieve a thigh gap.
I know. I've been thinking about actually how that is the strangest beauty ideal suddenly. I feel like it just doesn't seem like that's something that my body is going to do, and I'm actually really fine with that.
Okay.
Oh, I'm thinking of going on a diet after this meal. Do you want to join me?
I think your body works. I think you can listen to your body. Diet's only going to hurt you. My partner says I should get breast implants. What do you think?
I don't think you should do it.
Carter, does my butt look big in this?
It kind of does, but I love it. I don't know why that would be a bad thing necessarily. I think it looks great.
That's a good point. Big butts are kind of cool.
That is something you kind of say, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I feel like it can be like when people want affirmation on their body. So sometimes I think it's actually important to say something that includes their body still.
Yeah.
That isn't.
It's not deflective.
That isn't within the paradigm that they are trying to understand themselves.
Totally.
Right.
Yeah. And back in the day, I used to do research on appearance conversations. This was my dissertation. One of the things that we found was that there was a vicarious experience of comments. There's a vicarious impact. So as to say, if I made a comment about myself, so a disparaging comment about myself, those people who were listening to me were negatively affected. So even though you feel like only the target of the comment is impacted, it's actually not the case, right? Those people listening to those comments have kind of think about how do I relate to that target? How do I compare it to what was said? And what would happen if I'm not around? Is this person going to make a comment about me if I'm not here?
Mm-hmm. Which again, I feel like gives more motivation of why we might want to try to stop these types of comments being made.
Yeah. But then there's like the place of wanting to have meaningful conversations about our experience of being people in this world and all of the complexity related to food and body that comes our way.
I think that with, you know, people that you might feel safe with over the holidays that you'd be having a conversation like this with, or of course beyond the holidays, I feel like that is a time where there's a lot of catching up that happens between people, and a way to engage a slightly deeper conversation, I think, can be to reflect on what the comment means to you more directly. So rather than, you know, if someone says like, you know, does my butt look big in this, to say like, oh, that, I mean, Are you worried about that? I feel like I've been on this journey of really accepting my body, and I used to really feel concerned about that. But what if we could talk about it this way, or like present it with excitement, or present it with sort of an emotional depth that's lacking in the actual comment, so that there's a bit of an access point of connection? Because I think most people that are making these comments are looking for connection, I think more often than not, or to sort of excuse themselves from some behavior and some judgment that would come from that behavior in front of the other people. And so I think it can be good to just like go there with people if there's an opportunity.
Right. And I also think of though, like how in a setting, like at least with holidays, I think people can feel like there's so much output anyways in an experience like that. So when to sort of decide to go into that, when to hold back and be aware of taking care of themselves by not engaging in the conversation. So,
yeah, that seems like also the possibility of saying, like, maybe back to that comment of like, do I look fat in this? To have that more thorough response of saying, oh, whoa, that's like a big thing to say in the midst of us dishing up our food. I would love to talk about that sometime. Now maybe it doesn't feel the best, but hey, we're together this weekend as a family. Should we go? Can we go for a walk and talk about it or something? But I just think that is, like you say, it's a bid for more connection or being known. And I think for those of us that want to see it that way or do see it that way, to take the opportunity to go deeper. And yeah, I think probably most people listening to this podcast are people that could try to have a more thorough, careful, compassionate conversation that around these things. So it's like, but it still is risky. I know, right. Even us in this room would feel like, oh yeah, it creates a little awkwardness to not respond in the culturally normative way.
And if you are a listener that maybe doesn't feel prepared to have a really thorough, empathetic conversation with someone else's comment and is, you know, in recovery, at the beginning of recovery maybe, and feeling like any comment anyone makes at Christmas is going to like send you over, then it can be a really important thing to figure out how you take care of yourself and engage maybe as little as possible. Mm-hmm. You know, how do you talk about your eating disorder in those moments? Do you? I've heard clients talk about people in their families understanding that they have an eating disorder and they've been in treatment all this time, but are still making all these diet comments as if there's no connection. And I think a lot of people don't know that there's a connection between diet culture and eating disorders, that someone could feel like, oh, you know, you have a problem, but I'm on Weight Watchers and that's fine because I'm, you know, I'm bigger than you. Mm-hmm. Oh, actually, no, same impact, same total. Yeah.
Like part of the challenge is if you are silent or if you don't engage, then the fear from at least oftentimes the client side in that situation would be that there's an agreement in the silence. And I think that can cause a lot of distress. And almost more, it could be a place that it has more energy because of feeling concerned about that. So
I know I feel like different things I've coached clients on is finding the ally that's going to be there so that then you don't have to be the one speaking up. Finding someone else that's going to be the bold, be like, Aunt Susie, seriously, not right now, we're eating, you know. But then you don't have to be the person that's saying something. I also think it's like the get up and exit. If it's not like during the table meal time, but it's maybe more casual, it's like just being able to excuse yourself and go to the bathroom and find ways to, not be as engaged. And then figuring out, maybe with that particular person, is it a relationship that is worthwhile pursuing to have them better understand the connection between their comments or their behaviors and your eating disorder recovery?
Yeah. And then there's the person, you know, the relationship where you've had the deeper conversation and they're still at a place of not aligning with Hayes values and maybe still feeling really strongly about weight loss and talking about weight
food
loss in front of
too,
you.
Like good and bad food.
Right. Good and bad food and all of that. And you've had all the conversations. You've told them where you stand, yet they're still in that place of being where they stand, you know. And how do you navigate that? I know I've gotten to more of a place of just acceptance and just not engaging it and trying just more shutting down conversations versus trying to have like a more intimate conversation that could lead to change. Because I don't think, you know, neither of us are willing to change
our positions. That's where I think the quick comebacks come in handy
because,
if you're recognizing that that isn't going to, if it's not going to lead to a change or more understanding, it's a place that you can kind of stand in self-respect in that moment and shut it down.
Especially if it's somebody you've had a more thorough conversation with, you can say more of a response of saying, hey, this is one of those moments like that. That's hard for me to hear you say that. So I don't really have a way to respond. I don't want to talk about it. Like, I don't know. I just like somehow referencing conversations you've had in the past to try to help them see the connecting the dots.
Or totally change the subject. I feel like that can be so effective. Again, like I think I am of the belief system that most people, when they're talking about diets or they're talking about, you know, weight or some new thing they read about macros or something, they're wanting to connect. And so I feel like my MO, because I know that I have sort of the privilege of being in a place that is, you know, I'm not struggling, is to sort of try and read between the lines, I guess, and either just change the subject or go, oh, it sounds like you're like feeling really happy lately. What else is going well? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, or it seems like, you know, you've gotten really into running. Like, have you noticed that you're, you know, more connected to other people? Or I don't.
Where do you go for your runs?
Yeah. Just
it's
to
like
sort of
behavior shaping.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
You can, that's a really effective way to manage those moments.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what you mean by behavior shaping.
Like you're basically just you're taking some agency to change the course and to pivot the conversation and making it into something that you want to talk about more.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I mean, I think kind of what we're saying is how do you stand strong in your belief and who you are and where you stand despite what the environment is saying to you, you know, and seems like that's the work, because it's always going to, somebody is going to be around you that has a different belief system that, but how can you stay strong and feel confident in your position?
I think this ties into some of the, can we really change the culture? Kind of that hopelessness that can be there of the world is always going to be like this. So can I really make a difference? And this idea that the power of our voice and that we can change the course of a night, an evening with 20 people around the table by stopping some, like by setting a culture where these things get stopped. Like, I think that's pretty powerful. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. I don't have people making these comments anymore around the table. Like, they know not to do it. Like that says something. There's learning there. That feels like a powerful way that we can be influencing and having an impact, even though a lot of people would say, what's the point? If it's not going to change the other person, what's the point? If they're not going to agree with my philosophy, if they're not going to agree with health at every size, what is the point of engaging?
I mean, I feel like you get to have the opportunity of getting to talk about other stuff.
Right.
Right? That
you can have a pleasant evening.
A pleasant evening where you get to protect yourself from the things that you need to protect yourself from, but also you're shaping the culture of a conversation in order to talk about things that you're more excited about or that maybe have the potential of being more connecting.
More intimate.
Right. And Julie, I know that you have compiled a list of like alternative things to talk about when you initially like greet someone or meet someone rather than the like, oh, hey, you look so good. Did you lose weight or have you been working out? What are some of the alternative like kind of conversation starters that you're aware of?
Yeah, I just think that our appearance comments oftentimes could just be really flippant because it's just filling the silence. So instead of commenting on fashion or makeup or hair or whatever, to say something like, oh, I've missed you, or thank you for being here, or I can tell you really care about this event. Tell me more about it. Or what brings you here? How's your day going? Have you ever been here before? I don't know. Just like there's a zillion other things that we can head the conversation to start with instead of it starting with those comments. And I think as just a point, I'm not against appearance comments. So I would say that there is a place and a time for them. And I think that it is totally okay to acknowledge that you like somebody's sweater or that their haircut looks nice or wondering where they got their jeans. You know, like I think it's totally fine to do that stuff. I just do think that they aren't benign. So I do think that it's more It's more thoughtful and more compassionate to do that when you have an existing relationship with somebody and it's in the context of all the other comments and things that you wonder about with that person.
Yeah. I feel like body image or appearance comments can be a shorthand for something. Like reading between the lines of an appearance comment. Maybe it's, you know, if I've noticed that someone's body weight has changed and I genuinely notice that when I see them, I think the first thing to say would be like, oh, my God, this thing's changed about you, which makes sense if you're noticing that. But it's not probably going to go very well. That's not a good thing to say. So reading between the lines would maybe be like, wow, I haven't seen you in so long. I bet a lot has changed. Or like, I haven't seen you in so long. Like, what has life been like since then? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, or something like that. How have you been doing? Mm-hmm. Like, we're experiencing something and we often attribute it really quickly to someone's appearance and we value that. We have value if someone's lost weight or looks really great or whatever. And that's, I think I want to give people credit for the fact that most of the time that's out of a desire to connect or be attuned or something. It also can be incredibly critical, for sure. But, you know, how can you communicate the thing that you're trying to communicate without needing to comment on the like first obvious observation you're making. Mm-hmm. I also think that, you know, we don't know how different comments can be received. Like if someone was to say like, wow, you look so healthy, that could mean so many different things to someone that genuinely is the healthiest they've ever been and they feel that way because they just went to the doctor and got a bunch of labs done or someone that's in the middle of eating disorder recovery and they just gained weight and they're really self-conscious about that or someone that is in the middle of an eating disorder and they just lost a bunch of weight and they are, you know, at risk of heart failure. I mean, there are so many different things that could be interpreted by the exact same comment. And we just don't know the different variables in terms of how someone would receive mm-hmm. any appearance comment.
I think appearance comments do help form kids' identity. And so when, as a parent, I observe that in, you know, young children and parents making comments about young children and their cute hair or their outfit or whatever it might be. And I know that stuff builds on how important is this? And is this how I'm connected to others? And is this what I'm valuable for? And I think of even for myself, like growing up, I was somebody that did care a lot about my clothes and got attention for that and my appearance. And I don't know, it was something I did spend time and money and if I look back, I felt like I did get social acceptance that way and such. So, and I don't want that to be the core part of my children's experience. So I'm very aware of that. I have two kids that have red hair and there's a lot of commentary around their hair and what to do with that. And I do it too. I love their red hair. So it's like hard to not make commentary about it. So I guess I'm just aware of the early formation and how these appearance comments vicariously when the adults are doing it to each other as the adults, but then it's also adults to kids and how that is influencing mm-hmm. how much appearance is important to people.
And we don't know what other people are saying to kids, for example. So we don't get to see all the comments they would get throughout a day, throughout a week, throughout a year. So we don't know how we're contributing to maybe a patterned message or that we're not, right?
Yeah, so something that like stands out, like the red hair thing, it's like it gets consistent comment in most environments. So then I'm like, okay, who else are they? What else can people make, like, want to know about them instead of, where'd you get your red hair, you know? I don't know. It's maybe a simple thing that might not scar them, but.
Yeah, and what is your brunette child going to feel about his hair? Having listened to that his entire life, mm-hmm. we don't know.
Totally. I know. I remember talking to somebody that has twins, and one is a red hair and one not, and how much more attention the red-haired kid got, and this parent trying to navigate that and how to balance out the attention that one gets for a uniqueness, something that has somebody stand out, mm-hmm. right?
Well, and just going back to maybe what Carter said, like easier to comment on the thing that is visible and external, and it's probably a lot more risk-taking to ask about what's going on in the internal world.
Right.
Yeah. Right? Like that's more intimate. And so it feels a lot easier and less risky to make the comments about how they're doing in their sport game or how the things that are out there
yeah.
visibly for everyone to see instead of truly checking in on the inside.
Yeah. Like, I feel like that's true, that, and if it feels like an opportunity for people to, like, sort of bring more intimacy into their relationships and their conversations and a little bit more interest into those conversations, I hope that this conversation can inspire that. I also know realistically that with holiday season, it is typically busy and full of people and full of emotion and memory and desire and all sorts of things. And so if it's not the time to be able to, like, up the intimacy with your uncle, like, that's fine.
That's okay too.
That's okay. I feel like at the very least, being able to recognize that these comments might happen a lot and maybe to anticipate, okay, you know, what is it that that person always says to me whenever I see them? Or, you know, how do I make sure that I am engaging with the dessert table a bit differently than, you know, so-and-so, or just for myself, how do I make sure that I am doing things that are in line with my belief systems when there are so many more voices coming at me during this season? Mm-hmm. Those questions can just be a good thing to reflect on just as preparation to get through a time that might feel exhausting, because mm-hmm. it can just be exhausting.
Yeah.
So you might just need a little, like, extra care on the other side if the conversations don't go so well. Mm-hmm.
One challenge that you might want to take on in light of this conversation before your holiday gathering is just thinking about the people, if you know who's going to be at the table, to think about maybe one or two things that you want to know about each person at the table that goes beyond these kind of appearance statements, and maybe helps you get to know those people a little bit better, a little bit more intimately, and not that you have to ask everybody your one or two questions, but that you're prepared with some things that you want to know and that you've done that kind of exercise yourself of something that might build a little bit more connection.
Great. Yes.
Another thing that you could do to prepare yourself is to just sit with a really close, safe person to you and just think, what are those comments that get said that rub you the wrong way, and maybe make a list of them, and then practice going back and forth with your friend to try to see if you can come up with some of these quick comebacks like you heard us practicing and doing. I know that for me, that's good muscle memory, and so could be an exercise you could do with a safe person.
If you have any questions or ideas around this topic, we would love to hear from you. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. So connect with us there, reach out to us there, whatever you'd like. And if you want to learn more about our programming, make sure you go to opalfoodandbody.com. There's definitely a lot about our treatment, and there's also a good opportunity there to learn more about our community events as well. Thank you to Daniel Gunther at Jaxtra Cultural Center for sound engineering, to Aaron Davidson for the Appetites original music, and to Hans Anderson for amazing editing. Join us next time.